Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rainn Wilson.
Hi. Hi. Wow. This is a convention center. Hi, everybody. How you doing? Okay, you're getting your cameras out. Ready? Get your cameras out. Here we go. Get them out. You have 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. Feast your eyes. This side. Oh, look, I have a mic on my tie. Over here. People are going to be like, wow, that was the most amazing talk ever. Because I'll be like, okay. Thanks so much for coming, you guys. I feel like I'm speaking at an auto show. This is very odd. All right, let's get started. Shall we? Where's the thing? PowerPoint? Just check your emails real quick. Technical difficulties. May I have the PowerPoint brought up on the screens, please? I love you too. I don't really love you. I mean, I'm sure you're a very nice person. What do you guys want to talk about? Oh, here we go. So this is something, a topic that's very near and dear to my heart, and I wanted to engage with you guys. 140 characters. Why 140? What is the significance? Do you know, and this is a fact, that there are 140 moons in our solar system? I don't think that this is a coincidence. Any questions at this point? What else do we have here? The first ever PowerPoint presentation of a PowerPoint logo. Very meta. This is the first time I've ever done PowerPoint, by the way. So it took a lot of preparation for me to do this. What's next? What is that? Oh, look, a quote by the Buddha. So this is a very weird situation that I find myself in. Here I am. I was asked to come speak at South by Southwest Interactive. I love the great city of Austin. I love the great convention of South by Southwest. It's really just a fantastic cultural thing. It's really one of the greatest things that the United States has going for it. But here I am. I'm this weird actor guy known for playing dysfunctional characters with strange haircuts and, you know, tweeting the first thing that pops into his mind when he sits down to take a dump. And here I am speaking to you guys. You guys are computer geniuses, right? You guys have your web designers and branding experts and social networkers. And, like, what do I have to possibly impart to you all today? This was a very a strange dilemma. I felt an enormous amount of pressure to speak to the web in such a way that I would enlighten your souls in some profound way and unlock the secrets of our culture, like Malcolm Gladwell. I even thought about making myself a gigantic wig out of my own pubic hair, kind of like he has. And But it's not my pubic hair. I don't know whose he used for that. And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about, because a lot of you know, I have this website and brand, Soul Pancake. It's a website, and it's a best-selling book. It's a brand. We're moving into production. There's a lot of different aspects to it. And I was thinking, like, what am I going to say? I'm not just here to, like, plug our little measly dumb website to you guys. I mean, that doesn't really make any sense. And then I was really thinking about the founding of Soul Pancake. I was thinking about my life's journey. And then I found a correlation, which is, you know, my life has had an incredible journey. It's been an artistic journey, certainly, from starting out as an actor and an artist and doing experimental theater in downtown New York City. to being the incredibly successful, handsome actor you see before you right now. And I also have had an incredible spiritual journey through my life and a philosophical journey as well. And that's what Soul Pancake is all about. It's about all of these things. Soul Pancake is about the journey that we all take as human beings. The journey, the spiritual, philosophical, and artistic or creative journeys that we all take. And so I thought, well, that's it right there. That's what Soul Pancake is about, and I've had an incredible journey, so that's really what I'm going to speak to you about. I'm going to talk a little bit about my journey, and I'm going to stop saying the word journey because I keep thinking about the rock band. And then I was going to sing, I couldn't think of a journey song. When the don't stop. What was the name of that? My wife is here. What was that Journey cover band we went and saw? Was it More Than a Feeling? No, that would be a Boston cover band. Wheel in the Sky. Oh, Don't Stop Believing? Was the name of the cover band. We saw a Journey cover band. It was awesome. Okay. So let's get started. Here's a quote by the Buddha. Maybe we can talk about this later. I'm going to talk about some aspects having to do with spirituality, which you'd never expect to talk about at an interactive web conference. Let's see what else we have here on my PowerPoint. Oh, this is a baby monkey riding a boar. So a lot of you... And by the way, if you like that one, there's a great YouTube video of a hippopotamus having diarrhea. I'm not going to show it to you here, but just look it up later on. It's hysterical. Anywho, my history with the internet. Like, a lot of you are not going to believe this. I'm 46 years old. I know. What? What? That's crazy. No way. He looks so young. He looks so good for his age. And it's true, but I am 46 years old. So a lot of you don't remember this. I was around for the dawn of the computer age and of the internet. And, It was a crazy history, and I'm going to walk you through it a little bit. So here's the deal. I remember in 1993, my wife and I bought our first computer. It was a used laptop. We got it off of a message board in a coffee shop in New York City, and it was $600. I think it had 10 megabytes of memory, and it was a little laptop, and it had one program on it, WordStar. WordStar was at one, it's the MySpace of word processing programs. At one point, it was the most popular, number one, it had $70 million in sales per year, word processing program, and that's the only thing that was on my computer. And interesting fact, George R.R. Martin of Game of Thrones still writes on WordStar. He's, true story, he creates really intricate, beautiful, deep, dark characters and then inexplicably kills them. On WordStar. George R.R. Martin joke. So I was going to write the Great American Novel on this laptop. It didn't happen. I didn't really write much of anything. But we realized we needed a printer, so we went to the same cork board and tore off another ad, and for $250 we got one of those printers that had spokes, like you needed to have paper on reels with holes dotted in the side, and it would go k-k-k-k-k-k-k. It was like circa from NASA, circa 1979. Like it was crazy. We had one of those, and I was rather prescient. I made some artwork on said printer. We're talking a long time ago now. And then we realized that there was this new miracle that was happening called the internet. So we got a modem. A dial-up modem that we got, and to go along with said modem, we got all these wonderful things started arriving in the mail. Remember that? Just close your eyes. It takes you back, doesn't it? The miracle of the internet. You could communicate with people from Pakistan to the Congo and Belgium, and everyone was going to be united and brought together, and all you had to do was listen to... So, anyway, so, yeah, we got on the internet. What happened? I was AOL. That was my first web page. They still make all their money from old people that don't know that you don't have to pay for email anymore. It's true. It's a true story. What did I discover? One of the first things I discovered on the internet was Yahoo Chess, and I got my rating up to 1,500, which was I was pretty excited about. I challenge anybody here. Boom. I lost 5 months of my life to Minesweeper. That was a very sad time. A message boards, that was a big phenomenon. Remember message boards? Everyone leaving. And I'm pretty sure I left a really nasty message about George W. Bush that I'm pretty sure changed the entire political landscape of the country. Come on, it was a little funnier than that. Search engines, remember search engines? I was starting to be an actor in L.A. when I discovered the miracle of Googling myself, although back then it was, I would ask Jeeves about myself and Alta Vista myself. And I remember I did this episode of Charmed where I played Kirkan, the demon alchemist. And I Googled myself, and then this big Charmed fan, and her on-screen name was Doherty Fan 57. She hated my performance, and on every TV message board, Television Without Pity, all of them, she would write about this guy, how he looked like a pig. She called me Piggy. And then she dissected my performance, like every moment of my performance, and it was devastating. So, as we know, that search engines can be a double-edged sword. Friendster, remember I joined Friendster? Friendster still exists, by the way. It's still out there. It's very weird. Go there and you'll see all these pictures of people and all these profiles, all these Friendsterites out there. And it's like wandering into the lost city of Atlantis. You know, it's like an internet ghost town with all of these people preserved, perfectly preserved in amber circa 2003. It's crazy. And then, of course, I'll skip ahead and say that I then joined Twitter, and that has been quite an adventure on Twitter. And I will say that, you know, Twitter is 144 characters minimum. I actually invented another website. I had the idea first. It was called Twatter. It was 140,000 character minimum to twad. And... it would take you 2 or 3 days to come up with a twad, and I lost millions of dollars in that. Terrible idea. But I joined Twitter, and I got tens of thousands of followers right away, and just every day, it was just like more followers and more followers. They just kept piling on. Hours would go by, and I'd get thousands more and thousands more. It was, I felt like Hitler, but in a good way. And if I were to tweet that joke, I would be in so much shit. I would be on the cover of Huffington Post, Rainn Wilson compares self to Hitler. Anyway, which brings us to Soul. That's my history in the internet. Thank you. Which brings us to Soul Pancake. Let's go to the website. Here we go. Soulpancake.com. Wait a minute. There we go. You're lame. Seriously, you're really lame. We put a lot of work into the anonymous hacked Soul Pancake website, and I had a team of people work on that for days and just got a chuckle. Damn you. I'm going. Thanks, everybody. By the way, I apologize for the podium. I feel like when I do this, I feel like I'm Tom Cruise in Magnolia, and I can't do like the TED Talks when everyone's like this, you know? Like, I feel like Deepak Chopra. I can't. It's very strange. What do you think of my talk so far? Okay. So let's talk about Soul Pancake. Why Soul Pancake? Why the name Soul Pancake, everyone asks me. And quite simply, and it's truthfully, I say because Spirit Taco was taken. And we literally were researching domain names. And we had, you know, we went to one of those domain places and we were like, we wanted a food item with something having to do with higher thought and spirituality and philosophy and stuff like that. So I wanted originally metaphysical milkshake, but that was a little too wordy. And so we invested, and finally we came up with Soul Pancake. And when I was starting it, you know, I remember I was on the set of The Office, and now I'll get a little more serious with you guys. And I remember Ed Helms turned to me and he said, so what's this Soul Pancake thing I keep hearing about? And I was like, well, it's a website that explores creativity and spirituality. And he said, aren't those two things really mutually exclusive? And I thought about it long and hard, and because I was like, no, I don't think so. But I realized that this isn't really a fresh idea and a fresh concept that people aren't used to thinking. So that's really one of the things that I wanted to talk about, is this intersection between creativity, philosophy, and spirituality. Let's show a little video that I made when we first started the site. Oh, I need to go back. No. Oh. Hi. I wrote a little song for you. It goes like this. My heart floats like a flower. I am sick of spirituality being airy-fairy, hippy-dippy, and precious. I want to have a debate about life's big questions. I want to delamify talking about God and religion. Soul Pancake is where spirituality and creativity meet. Want to join us? Soul Pancake. Okay. This is a great quote. All religions, arts, and sciences are branches of the same tree. All these aspirations are directed towards ennobling man's life, lifting it from the sphere of mere physical existence, and leading the individual towards freedom. And this is a great quote by Albert Einstein that really aligns with my belief and what I've learned over my long journey, which I'm going to get into in a moment. You have my journey of the internet, but I have a couple other journeys to talk about. And because I truly believe that spirituality is a very corrupted word, and it was a word that we needed to reinvent and delamify, because spirituality basically to me means anything having to do with the spirit, and the spirit is just not the body. It's connected to the body in some way, shape, or form, but it's something, anything having to do with our higher selves, our higher calling. That can be anything. It can certainly be God and certainly religion. Certainly it's meditation, but it's also work as service. It's creating things. It's creating art. It's all of us gathered here in this room right now having this conversation. Anything that elevates us beyond just pooping and eating and the other things that we monkey-like beings like to do. So that's what I wanted to engage with in Soul Pancake. So why did we start it? Well, I had this great opportunity presented to me. Like, I had been acting for a long, 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 long time before The Office happened, and in total obscurity, pretty much. And then I had this great opportunity, being a celebrity, to do something interesting on the web. And it was such a land of shit back then, when we first started talking about it 4 or 5 years ago, when we first started having conversations. It's much better today, actually. I think the landscape on the web is much more interesting and vital, and there's much more positive things. But back then, there was very little that was uplifting or ennobling of the human condition. So I saw this great opportunity, and we also thought of it as a service to humanity. We thought of you know, I thought about the average Office fan. You know, maybe there's a skinny, pimply kid who lives in his parents' basement in Omaha, and he loves The Office, and he's got a computer, and, you know, what would this kid like to do? What hasn't been offered to him yet? What about a place to debate life's big questions, to have deeper conversations with people as he's going along his life's journey? That's certainly what I would have liked when I was that age. So let's talk a little bit about that journey. In looking back on the creation of Soul Pancake, I realized that there's this great intersection of my life, these three aspects of my life's journey, and that Soul Pancake, the website, is really an expression of who I am as a human being. And it means a great deal to me, and it's very personal, and it holds an important place in my heart, and it's directly related to my life. So on terms of the spiritual journey, I grew up a member of the Baha'i faith. My parents are Baha'is. I'm currently a Baha'i. And there are a couple of teachings of the Baha'i faith that were integral to the creation of Soul Pancake. One of my favorite principal teachings in the faith is the individual investigation of truth. This is that every human being has the obligation to find the truth for themselves. It's not the truth of their parents. It's not the truth of whatever clergy member they worship under. It's not even the truth of people on the web that they meet, or what the cool kids are doing, or what the cool current belief is in the groundwater. It's really finding the truth for yourself and going on that journey. And this was very instilled in me. And I spent a long time, I left the Baha'i faith and was a complete atheist and going crazy, and then kind of came back to it. And that's another long story. But I thought that this was a very precious and important teaching, and Soul Pancake is kind of a reflection of that. There's another great teaching in the Baha'i faith. This is a quote from the son of the founder of the Baha'i faith, Abdul Baha. "I rejoice to hear that thou hast taken pains with thine art, for in this wonderful new age, art is worship. Art is worship. The more thou strivest to perfect it, the closer wilt thou come to God. What bestowal could be greater than this, that one's art should be even as the act of worshiping the Lord? That is to say, when thy fingers grasp the paintbrush, it is as if thou wert at prayer in the temple." So here's a new thought that creating things, and art is all kinds of websites are art. You know, the act of creating something, certainly the act of creating something so that it makes beauty or provides service in the world, is an act of worship. And it's just as important as kneeling in a temple or praying or meditating or something like that. And this was also a really vital part of my spiritual journey and an inspiration for Soul Pancake. Now, my philosophical journey was a little different. I had a great books class in high school, and it was truly awesome. And see, I wanted to be a philosopher. I went to go to Tufts University to study philosophy. I really wanted to study it. And I took some philosophy classes, and I was just bored out of my skull. It was so dry and academic. And I just realized that, wait, philosophy is so disconnected from what it's meant to be. It's meant to be, this is what I believe in life, and this is the credo that I have, and this is how I see the world and reality and perception and whatnot, and I will then live my life in accordance with what I believe that I have discovered through a debating of the facts and the evidences and from what I read. But that vitality has really been lost, and it's just become a really dumb academic exercise in my mind. So that was something else I wanted to re-explore. But I had this amazing great books class in high school. We spent a year just reading great books, and we read Nietzsche and Kant and Herman Melville and the books of the Bible and you name it, all kinds of things to get a Nietzsche, a bunch of perspectives, and all we would do is debate life's big questions. And my teacher, Raissa Landor, she put it in a very interesting way. She said that, you know, it's continuing the conversation. It's an ongoing conversation that has been had since the dawn of time, since human beings gathered around in caves, till the ancient Greeks. This conversation of who are we? Why are we here? Do we have souls? Is there a God? Do we have free will? What is love? What is the purpose of it all? This ongoing conversation has been happening since the dawn of time. But I didn't really see a place on the web for that to continue that conversation. So that was a great inspiration. And the capper is, she got in touch with me a few years ago. No, I want to say first that as you would get an A in the class if you could prove that God didn't exist. And that's absolutely true. And two guys, Randy Kamian and Jay Green, actually did. They succeeded in proving that God does not exist. So, and they got A's. So in case you were wondering, there's no God. There's my great books teacher, Raissa Landor. Oh, you didn't have her? She's now a contributor to Soul Pancake. Wait, how do I, oh, I click on it. Now I'm going online. She has a column called The Corner with Rainn Wilson's English teacher. Look at this. Do you fear death? Montaigne, a 16th century French philosopher, asserts that the purpose of philosophy is to teach one not to fear death. Blah, blah, blah. It's just like back being in high school. And then people post and they're talking about life after death with my high school English teacher. So there is my philosophical journey brought to life. Okay, good. How's it going? Any questions? I don't care. Shut up. So my my artistic journey was quite different. A lot of you know me from my TV comedy show, but when I was an aspiring student actor, I really was an experimental theater actor, and I loved the crazier and weirder the theater experience was, the more I loved it. I remember when I was an undergrad, instead of spring break, I didn't go home for spring break. I went to this church off campus where they had brought over a woman who is Polish. I forget her name. She didn't speak a word of English. And she was a theater director and teacher from Poland, where she worked with Jerzy Grotowski, and they had a theater company out in the woods. They would just go out in the woods, and they would do these strange ritualistic plays that would go on sometimes for days. And she was there to teach us theater, but she didn't speak any English. So we just went in the church from like 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and locked the doors, and we had drums and scarves and water and some oranges, and we would just see what would happen. We would literally sit around. It was a little weird. We would just sit around and wait for something to happen. Maybe someone would sneeze, and then we'd look at that. And maybe the act of looking at that kind of created that. And we would create these theater pieces. They were like all day long ceremony improvisation. It was like a little mini Burning Man. And it was absolutely fascinating for a 19-year-old. And I loved this stuff. I really wanted to immerse myself in this stuff. Later, I did a workshop with Andre Gregory, who's famous for the movie My Dinner with Andre, and is an experimental theater director. And we would walk in circles for like 45 minutes, the whole ensemble. We would just walk in a circle over. I have no idea why we did that, but we would do that. And every once in a while, we would change directions. It was very intense, and you know, it was really pretentious. And it was really strange, but at the same time, it was really exciting because we really felt like, wow, we can change the world with the power of theater. It was like an evangelical, it was a little cult-like too, as I think about it. But it was really exciting. We did these plastiques with him where we would isolate your body parts. Anyone here do plastiques? Anybody? Plastiques? Not a hand. You isolate body, I have the mic on. You isolate your body parts, you find the perfect gesture for your hand, and then for your wrist and your elbow. And so you have to get adept at gesturing. Your shoulder has lots of different expressions, like this for communication, your pelvis. It's true. We would do that. We'd stand and we would gesture our pelvises at each other. It was very weird. I'm glad no one videotaped it. Then I went to acting school in New York. We did juggling and circus skills, clowning, mask work, period dance movement exercises. It was a wonderful, wonderful time. I did workshop with the renowned theater director Richard Schechner in the downtown on the Lower East Side, and we would have these squares marked out, kind of like on this stage, and every square had an emotion, and as you moved from square to square, you had to fully embody the emotion, so they're like, this would be grief, and people would be here, and then joy, and people would be dancing and moving around, and just completely, Antonin Artaud called it theater artists, the acrobats of the soul, so we were trying to be acrobats of the soul. It was like walking through an insane asylum. But it was really cool. Here's Antonin Artaud. I just wanted to do this because I wanted to read it in an accent. The race of prophets is extinct. Europe is becoming set in its ways, slowly embalming itself beneath the wrappings of its borders, its factories, its law courts, and its universities. I'm sounding like Schwarzenegger. The frozen mind cracks between the material staves which close upon it. The fault lies with your moldy systems, your logic of 2 + 2 = 4. The fault lies with you, chancellors, caught in the net of syllogisms. You manufacture engineers, magistrates, doctors who know nothing of the true mysteries of the body, of the cosmic laws of existence, false scholars blind outside this world, philosophers who pretend to reconstruct the mind. The least act of spontaneous creation is a more complex and revealing world than any metaphysics. Thank you. So, Soul Pancake unites all of these things. There's a tweet I did a while back. Thought it was appropriate. So let's talk about Soul Pancake. What does it actually do? Well, it is. We originally started it and we wanted it to be a content site. We wanted to provide interviews, perspectives, creative challenges for people to do. That we would be providing the content and then the users would be using it. And maybe they would have comment boards on it. Maybe a little more like the Huffington Post about mainly more specific topics. And then we had this other section of like interactivity that we had built. And up to the very last minute, we had no idea what to do with it. We were like, what the hell are we going to do to have the user? Should we have them upload pictures? We've seen that before. You know, what do we do? And then we came to the conclusion, literally a week or two before we were going to launch, that this would be a great place for something we call the question collective, the life's big questions. People to post any life's big question that they have and to interact. I just burped a little bit. Did you see that? Was I showing really big? Because I kind of had a little throat bubble. If this is going to be on YouTube, can you cut that out, the throat bubble? Anyone? I hate you guys. No, I don't. I want to hug every one of you. And now, interestingly enough, we've kind of shifted this from life's big questions and the question collective to a conversation, life's big conversations based on questions. Let me see here. What is this? Here are things we try and do on Soul Pancake. We try and always find the intersection between something positive, creative, and thought-provoking. If we hit all three sectors in this, then we're doing all right. That's what we've tried to do in our book, which was a New York Times bestseller, and now we have a production company that's I'll talk about in a little bit. Can I click on this? Start a conversation. Here's the page. Start a conversation about, these are some real life things on the web. Do you judge your day by how much you have accomplished? Do we own the human race or does the human race own us? Is originality a moving target? Defining anxiety in 10 words. Anyway, so you get the idea. So we're having deeper conversations about the human experience. We didn't want it to be a place where people talked about Justin Bieber or a Kardashian, and they didn't talk about sports teams, and they weren't snarky. One of the great benefits of Soul Pancake that I've really loved is how diverse the audience is. We have born-again Christians and atheists and Buddhists and Baha'is and agnostics and everyone in between from all over the world engaging in really respectful conversations with each other. Very few trolls and very little snark. And that's been really wonderful to see. What do I do now? I go here. What else? That's a urinal. It looks like a face. Isn't that funny? So I took a picture in it. I forget if I took a picture before or after I peed in that. People are like, ugh. Oh, yeah, tell me. Like, you don't look into, you don't spend hours gazing into urinals. Please, give me a break. Oh, here's a life's big question I posed. What should I say about Soul Pancake at South by Southwest this Saturday? I'm giving a talk for 1,500 tech web branding social media advertising nerds at South by Southwest Interactive. called The View from Rain. It's going to be about my spiritual and artistic journey, my history of the internet and creation of Soul Pancake, the website and the brand. Anything you want communicated, help a brother out. There's so many important things to say, but speaking on tolerance and understanding would be the most influential in the implementation of change, especially in our tech-savvy existence. I know it sounds hockey. Bad spelling! I know it sounds hockey. How can we ban her from the site? But love thy neighbor, and thy neighbor will be infected with the positive change that this world so desperately deserves and needs, et cetera, et cetera. Soul Pancake is a way for people to broaden their intellectual horizons. Written by Schrodinger 2 days ago, and there's... A toddler is posting on Soul Pancake. This site allows me to be completely open to who I am and the ideas that I create. It's something that is personal, but can be shared with others in order to find a connection in the world. Everyone feels alone deep down. That's interesting. Everyone feels alone deep down. I believe that. And this site shows people that others feel the same way. The more positivity that we put out in the world, the less room negativity has to grow. You know, it's interesting about that positivity. We were, my wife and was talking about my son, and he's 7 years old, and he loves to build things and create things. He writes books and he makes inventions, and he always loves to show them to us. It was just like, oh, Dada, Mama, you got to see this new thing. And she was reading in a book about parenting about how it's a sign of a healthy child that when they have something that they love and they care about, that they want to show it to people, that they want to share it with people. And I think that's a really beautiful thought. And, you know, the dysfunctional child or the child that's been traumatized in some way, maybe they have something they love, but they don't have that ability to share it. So providing an opportunity for people to share what's important to them and what they love. This one's written by I'm Barbie, you bitches, so I'm going to skip that. Videotape it. You might mention the great wisdom comes in the wee hours while sitting at the computer in your jammies, from total strangers to the universal family of Soul Pancake. I enjoy the slightly off the mainstream chatter that goes on here. It's comfortable and oddly familiar. I actually think about some of these things myself. We could do some fairly awesome things in a real and actual community. Think about that in the wee hours. Then get back to me and I'll explain cocooning to you. I don't know what that means. Soul Pancake is like the back seat of the school bus. It's where all the cool kids hang out. Awesome. So, let's see what else we have here. Here's an interesting slide. The website gets 1 million page views per month, 100,000 comments per month, 5,000 user-generated questions per month, 60,000 Twitter and Facebook following, 50,000 newsletter. You know, you get the idea. That means we're pretty small, but we're doing okay. Because, anyway. So now we're moving more into production as a company and a brand, and I wanted to share some of that with you. We've been doing these pieces for the Oprah Winfrey Network. We also are launching this summer, very excited to be launching one of these new premium YouTube channels. And we're really excited about that. It's going to be on the arts, science, and education band, and it'll be our own channel, and we're being given a really awesome budget to be able to create our own stuff. It's like Soul Pancake is going to become like a mini network. But we've been doing this great stuff for the Oprah Winfrey Network and possibly a pilot with them for a TV show very soon. Is this where the thing is? This is where the thing is. So I thought I'd show you a little something that we've been doing. We've been taking a life's big questions or life's big conversations off of the screen and off of the web and out into the street, out into the real world, engaging with real people out on the sidewalk and trying to enlighten and inspire and challenge and thought provoke. And here's a recent one we did. This has not aired yet, so you're in for a real treat. It's called Heart Attack, and we went to the streets of Venice to see how people would react to be attacked by a bunch of roving hearts.
Don't like it, subscribe.
Great. Thanks. So, you know, I just want to go back to something that I said earlier, and that was that kid in Omaha, the pimply skinny kid who lives in his parents' basement. You remember that kid? You know, I think that we have a really exciting opportunity to think about that pimply kid. And, you know, sometimes the individual investigation of truth can go too far. Remember that concept that I talked about? You know, people can go too far. And you think about that kid, and maybe he's writing really snarky reviews on Ain't It Cool News. And, you know, the internet can bring out the very best in people. It can also bring out the worst of people. Maybe he's spending too much time with really strange porn from Germany and Florida. And our job here is, all of us, I believe, is to call on our higher selves to lift that kid up, to inspire him, to empower him. He's who we do it for, is that pimply skinny kid. And it's interesting because this is such a new revelation. You know, I've talked about my history through the internet, but 16 years ago, none of this that's happening on the web would be possible. It just didn't exist. I mean, how did people connect over ideas? How did they connect over what they loved? I mean, fanzines? I mean, I remember, and this is a true story, I went into a record store in 1986, and I loved REM. And I went into this record store, and they had an REM fanzine. I had never seen a fanzine before. And I was 20 years old, and I bought this REM fanzine, and here it was. Here there were a group of people in Decatur, Georgia, or Athens, Georgia, or somewhere that were writing about their love of REM. And they had the lyrics, and they did artwork inspired by REM, and they had essays about it, and the information about the concept. It was literally Xeroxed on pieces of typing paper and stapled on the corner, and I paid like $2.95 for it. And I was so moved. I remember spending hours with this fanzine because their music and their first couple, especially CDs, or what was it, CDs back then? Cassettes from Columbia House Records and Tapes were really, really important to me. And I loved the lyrics and how obscure it was and how dark and strange it was. And I loved Michael Stipe and everything that he stood for. And to just read like, wow, there are people out there who feel the same way that I do. I had no idea that such a thing could exist. But this is how I had to communicate it, was from getting this kind of stapled, mimeographed piece of paper. But, you know, going back to the kid in Omaha, you know, our job really, our challenge really is, again, how do we inspire this kid? A lot of people in the web, you know, their goal is to enslave people. They just want them at their computers. This is what we should be wary of. Is we want to keep people at their computers. We want them clicking on our ads. We want page throughs. We want amount of time spent and page views. And we want them to buy things from the ads that are on our site and promote and tell all their friends. So in a sense, we want to enslave them to their computers. And while certainly making money is crucial, and you know, fortunately I have a day job, so I don't have to worry about that too much. Although, we'd certainly love to make Soul Pancake profitable, so if anyone has any ideas about that, let us know, because we sure don't. But I believe that the internet is the future of spirituality. And again, thinking about spirituality in this larger sense of connecting people, of bringing people together, of providing a service, creating things of great beauty. You know, I think about when I go to a museum sometimes. You know how you go to a museum and you're walking down the hallway and there'll be like a pot that's made by some Eskimo tribe or something like that, or Inuit tribe, nowadays you're supposed to say Inuit, sitting on the shelf. And you kind of walk past it, you look at it, and there's an arrowhead and there's a teacup and a couple other things, a bone shard. And you're like, yeah, whatever, I'm going to go see the Monet down the hall. And then, but I think about this sometimes, that I've had really mystical experiences looking at those pots, because when you read about them and you study them, hold on a second, hold that thought. when you read about the pots, you realize that so much went into the making of that pot. It is reflective of, for instance, this was a pot that was used to carry water. So it was practical. It was very practical. It literally carried water. And it was made by a master potter, and his parents were potters, and their parents were potters, and their parents were potters. And the potters were kind of shamans in the tribe. And then sketched on the outside of the tribe maybe were pictures of gods or animal gods, totem-like creatures. Maybe there's a sketch of a mountain on the side of the pot. And that mountain is the holy mountain where their ancestors are buried. And there's a river drawn on the pot, of the river flowing down from the mountain. And that river signifies life. And the pot was shared in the community and passed around, and people would drink from it as they sat around fires or in their tents. And you think about this pot like, wow, you know, we live in such a fractured life where we think of spirituality as only going to church on Sunday mornings. And we think of our job as something that we have to do to make money. And we think of our hobby as something that we do that we love, and our family is here and our friends are here, and there's all these different compartments. But here's this pot that so effortlessly weaves in all aspects of this culture into one thing. It signifies their religious or their spiritual life. It is reflective of their community life. It binds people together, and it's practical. It's a pot. It literally just carries water. And this is how I think about spirituality and our culture, that all of these things can exist at the same time. You know, it's spirituality has to do with us communing here. It has to do with making the world a better place, bringing people together, and also personal expression. You know, just like this website is an expression of my life and my story and who I am, and I'm excited to be able to share it with you guys here today. And there's so much. Like I said, the internet is the future of spirituality. There is so much that can be done that is spiritual on the web. I mean, it's a spiritual act to share a beautiful photo on Instagram. It's a spiritual act to make something beautiful that you love, that you spent hours and hours on, a craft that you sell on Etsy. You know, it's like clicking on Donors Choose and finding a teacher in the Bronx whose class project you want to support. And then you get all these great thank you letters back from the kids. There's watching a beautiful Arcade Fire video. There's the Kony 2012 campaign, which we've all heard about, and how incredible that is, that 70 million YouTube views so far to find an African warlord and bring him to justice. There's so many, because it's a spiritual act to try and bring justice to the world, I believe. And most importantly, I think that kid, that pimply kid in his parents' basement in Omaha, that kid is me. And that's why I'm sharing this, because that was me. That was the kid who bought the REM fanzine. And that was the nerdy kid who played chess and wanted to be an experimental theater actor. And that kid is all of us. You know, we need connection, we need belonging, we need compassion, we need nurturing, we need inspiration. And fortunately, I was fortunate enough to find great teachers like Raisa Landor who inspired me and told me and taught me and showed me the way to get up off of my ass so I wasn't just playing video games. Of course, back then it was the little football game that you went click, 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 and the football went click, 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 click. We didn't have, and I had Pong. Got me up off my ass so I'd stop playing Pong and really show me the possibilities of doing something with my life. These are these great teachers. And why did they do that? Why did they do that with me? Well, because they were that pimply skinny kid in their basement in Omaha once upon a time themselves. So they're trying to share that. What else do I have? Did I miss some slides? Oh, this is a great story. You know, I heard this interview with Gene Simmons, and he was talking about how he invented KISS, the rock band. And what he did as a teenager is he compiled a list of what he most loved in the world. And he started making drawings based on that list. And the things he loved the most, karate movies, Godzilla movies, Marvel Comics, superheroes, heavy metal, glam rock. And these are the things, and these are all of this inspiration for KISS. And that literally is how KISS came about, is a teenage kid dreaming with a sketch pad, drawing down what his dreams were, creating one of the greatest and most kick-ass rock bands of all time. And I think this is really interesting. We're going to do something about KISS. We're going to do our own version of that, our own Gene Simmons. Everyone here today is going to get to be Gene Simmons with me here in a minute. So, you guys, thank you so much for having me, and maybe we'll be able to do some questions and stuff, too. We have a little bit of time, but everyone here, you guys are such an inspiration. I mean, just the brain trust in this room is so phenomenal. You've accomplished so much, and you've to fulfill yourselves as a human being, and I urge you all to think about the web in some new ways. Maybe I've touched you in some ways to think about it as a potential service, a potential expression of something higher, something spiritual, bringing love and light and possibility and community to the pimply kid who's in his parents' basement. And that's the story that I really wanted to share with you. Here's a favorite quote of Oprah's, which I love. Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and do that. What the world needs is more people that have come alive. So if you could get anything out of this, I would say, you know, you have an opportunity to do something on the web that can reflect your higher selves, and perhaps it'll inspire you a little bit. And if that is the case, you will have the opportunity to make millions and millions of dollars. In which case, if I have inspired you here today, I demand that I get 1.5%, and you can send it to me, Rainn Wilson, care of Soul Pancake, 1313 Lux Street. No money orders, please, as a commission taken on behalf. Thank you. We come back to the quote by the Buddha. The Buddha. He's so great, the Buddha. He's short. There is another thing yet. There's an awesome thing. Don't go. All right, go. I don't care. There's an awesome thing coming up. The Buddha is smiling, happy all the time. He always knows the perfect thing to say. Chubby guy. He's kind of like the Andy Richter of religious icons. Okay, so here's your challenge. We're going to do a Soul Pancake Challenge right here. Take out your smartphones and PDAs and iPads and whatnot and get on your Twitter account. Do it now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Do it. Get them out. We are like Gene Simmons, we are going to write our personal equation for awesome, and it's got to include at least 5 items. And you're going to tweet it with the hashtag Soul Pancake. And we have randomly chosen a number between 1 and 100. We're going to look through it, and that person here today is going to win an awesome experiential prize. You're not even going to believe it. It's so awesome. See, Gene Simmons, what he would have tweeted is glam rock plus Godzilla movies plus Kung Fu plus Marvel superheroes plus heavy metal is his equation of awesome. This is stuff that you love, stuff that you believe in, stuff that you want to do, stuff that you'd see more of, you want to see more of in the world, stuff that just really turns you on and invigorates you. Keep it PG though. Here, my son is here, okay? So go ahead and start posting them. Go ahead, I'll give you some time. Awesome equation. 5 items. Post it. Hashtag Soul Pancake. You guys know what a hashtag is? If anyone wants to sign up for Twitter, it's still up. It's 140,000 characters in order to post. It was pretty good. We got up to 7 posts. Is everyone doing it? Are you sending them in? I like your hat. You're welcome. How's it going? Who sent theirs in already? Yeah? That's quite a few. Shall I give you one more minute? I'm going to do some more plastiques while you guys type these up. You do knees, too. God, I forget how to do it. And you do torso. So by the end of it, you're like doing the robot. You get the idea. Okay, ready? My co-creator of the site, Devin Gundry, is here. What do you think? Did we find it? Bring him up. Come on up. And Shabnam, our COO. Come on the stage. Kelsey Jones. Kelsey Jones, are you here? Yeah. Hers is unicorns. She was entry number 47. Come up on the stage. I've got a special prize for you. Unicorns plus books plus Weezer plus travel plus music equals awesome. Hashtag soul pancake. Awesome. Unicorns, book, Weezer, travel, and awesomeness. How are you? Congratulations. How are you?
Good. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. We're going to do something really fun. Devin? We're going to smash guitars together. You stay over there. Ready? One, two, three.
Thank you.
How did that feel?
Good. Felt really good. I've never done that before.
You've never done that before?
Really.
You're awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, thanks so much, you guys. I guess I will take some questions. I don't know. It says I have 6 minutes and 37 seconds left. Does anyone want to do that, or should I just... I should have exited already, but... Pretend I exited it and it was awesome and everyone stood up and was cheering. But anyone have any questions?
I do.
Yeah.
Sweet. Hey, so first of all, thanks for coming. And I had this really kind of marvelous question in my mind, and then I saw you smash a guitar on the stage and it kind of got jumbled up. But I've had the opportunity to work with a lot of people who have actually spent time in space. And they talk about being in space being an experience that changes their perspective of the world and how they kind of want to live their lives and how being able to look down from orbit, you know, basically makes them want to, you know, really care about an issue that's, you know, different for every single person. And I think that having an experience like that is something that every person on the planet should have the opportunity to do.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, if you had the opportunity to do some crazy experience that would totally, you know, you think change your perspective on your life, what would it be?
That's an awesome question. I hope you'll post that on Soul Pancake. Truly, I think, wow, going to space, oh, they started the maps again. I hate these maps with the, oh, that's just on mine. Never mind. Wow, that's a great question. I would love to take a year to travel across Africa. I'd love to just start like at the tip and go all the way up through the Sahara over a year. I read a couple travel memoirs, and it just sounds like so much fun and scary and dangerous and awesome and beautiful. So thank you for asking that question.
Thanks a lot.
Who's next there?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yes.
Go over here. There's a mic. Can you have a piece of the guitar? No, I can't do that because then everyone's going to bum rush the stage. And okay, take it easy, man. Idiot. Yes.
You say that Soul Pancake is all about kind of changing the webosphere towards more open communication and positivity. Would you be interested in taking Soul Pancake into communities?
Well, yeah, we've spoken about that. There have been meetups that have been happening across the country, which is really interesting. Soul Pancake breakfasts, people gathering together and taking it into the real world. And we would certainly love to see more of that. There's a woman right now in Boston who's starting an education program in the schools based on Soul Pancake's book, just getting kids talking about life's big questions and doing creative challenges and artistic challenges to address those questions. So I think there's a lot of different ways that it could be used. So, you know, absolutely.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
Thanks. Anyone else going to the auto show later? Anyone? Is that it? Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's a great question. She's asking, she knows a lot of entrepreneurs, and she said it's very hard for entrepreneurs to think about starting a business and at the same time kind of remaining altruistic. And, you know, you have to make money at the same time, and we've certainly seen a lot of do-good enterprises like come and go and not be very profitable. I think that that's, again, I would say that the question really has to do with spirituality in that there's a lot of ways to make to be of service to humanity and to bring people together and create community, and it can certainly be profitable, and there's nothing wrong with making money, and so it doesn't mean that you have to do a website that raises money for an orphanage in Africa. It can mean bringing people together in artistic ways and in communal ways, as long as you're keeping that spirit alive in the work you do, to know that the spirit, the work that we're doing needs to be of service, and that's what's behind what we're trying to do. Anything else? Thanks so much, you guys. Thanks for your time. Goodbye.